Hallelujah. Woo. When you fast, glory to God. Well, yes, we're one of those churches, we believe in fasting. The reason we believe in fasting, because we believe that our life belongs to God. Amen. See, when we really get born again, who are we going to serve? Are we serving? We're not serving our father, the devil, anymore, are we? We're serving a living God. Amen. Our life belongs to Him. He purchased you. Amen. You say, well, I don't know. You have to give myself to Him. No. You can receive salvation. You can go to heaven. But I believe God has rewards for us. I know a lot of times we're getting ready to get into the offering here in a second. But, you know, sometimes we... You know, people think, I don't think there's rewards in giving, because we do believe, you know, that God wants us to give. We do believe that. But He wants us to do it with the right motivation, with the right heart. Really, that's what Malachi was all about. They had the wrong heart. He said, you've robbed me in these things. Why? They were bringing the broken sheep. They were bringing things that were not whole. That we're not the best. How many think God deserves our best? Amen. So anyway, I want to read Matthew 10 here. In verse 40 through 42, it says, He that receives you receives me. So those that receive you, he's talking to his disciples here. If they receive you, they receive me. And he that receives me, Jesus is talking here, receives him that sent me, the Father. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, receives a righteous man's reward. And whoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in my name, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now here Jesus is talking about different things, but how many think, you don't think that he gives a reward when you're obedient to hear his voice and give to him? He will take care of you. He will cause men to give unto you. You know, sometimes I believe that we should have work and we should work with our hands and we should follow the Holy Spirit. But you see, we don't want to limit God in any way. He can cause money to come to you any way He pleases. I mean, I would be suspect, you know. There could be a 3-year-old come by. Couldn't it happen? He'd come by in his tricycle carrying a little bag. Here, this is for you. It's full of money. You know, I know my brother talked about that. He was in Africa, of all places, minding his own business, praise God. And someone, and he was praying about it. He said, oh, Lord, wouldn't that be great? Because I remember that happened to Pastor Dave when he went down to Brazil. Somebody handed him a little envelope, and several hundreds in that envelope, just handed it to him, didn't know who he was. And that happened to him on this last trip he went to. They were just, you know, there. Another American happened to be there and handed him a stack of money in an envelope, you know, a nice amount, and just handed it to him. He said, here, this is for you, sir. How many believe God knows how to get it to you? He will take care of you. But more than that, let's get our faith over there where we're always blessed. Amen. How many know, what does faith come by? How does faith come? Romans 10:17. We know that. We've learned that, haven't we? Or we need to go over it again. Amen. Romans 10:17. Maybe we do. And that's okay. How many know we need to stay in the Word of God until it becomes a part of us and we know what it says? But Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. In other words, hearing on the inside of us the truth of the Word of God. Now we know this 2 Corinthians 8:9. Most of you know that verse. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, do you know the grace? Do we really know the grace? Come on. Now, grace is God's force. It's the way. It's him doing things in our life. We're saved, what? By grace through faith. So we have to add faith. Amen. If we don't have faith, then what are we going to have faith in? His grace. In other words, the free gift, the unmerited favor, some would say, yes, it is. But it's much more than that. It is that there is a power to grace, which does some things in us, teaches us what to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and to live soberly and righteously before him. Amen. Amen. Do we know that grace, that same grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he left all of heaven, he became poor. We've said this several times. He became poor where? At the cross. Amen. How many know Jesus had nothing at the cross? They even, what? Throwed lots for his clothes that were left. That was it. Nothing. He left it all. He said, I'm going to leave it all. He knew it was going to happen. He made his decision long before that. We saw that in the baptism. He made his decision. I'm going all the way to death. Again, we see it in the garden. He said, I'm making my decision. He said, I'm under my flesh is troubling me. How many's flesh might trouble you if you're going to be crucified? You know what you got to do. You know what's going to happen to you. And he wasn't doing it because he had done wrong, but because he had done righteous, and he was doing it to fulfill all righteousness for you and I. And the Bible says he didn't have to. He did not have to go through with it. He had the choice. Amen. So let's choose to walk with him. But realize, you give even a little glass of cold water to the prophet in his name, you're not going to lose your reward. God's going to reward you. Some things we get a certain amount here in this life. How many know there's a reward to serving God? It pays to serve God, to have peace of mind. I'm telling you, that pays. That's something that no man can purchase. There's a lot of people that have tried to purchase peace of mind. They tried to get enough money. They tried to get enough, you know, accolades. You know, where everybody's looking, enough fame, enough fortune, enough stuff. Try to buy my friends, enough acceptance, whatever it may be. But there's only one person that is the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So let's give our offerings today. I know that wasn't, you know, say, well, that was an offering message. Yes, I do believe if you bless, God will bless you. I believe he's going to take care of us. But we don't want to do it with a wrong motive. We want to do it because we love him, out of that relationship with him, out of that communication. Father, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do my giving, Father? Show me, Holy Spirit. Open my heart. See, we're really moving to a higher level. See, we could just stay and keep you, you know, right here where you give 10% and live on your 90% and be happy. This is mine and this is God's. No, 100% of everything that we are, spirit, soul, body, money, time, relationships, everything belongs to God. Our life. He's interested in our life, not just our money. Not just who we are. We're not. That's why I say it all the time. I'm really not. I don't really. It doesn't make any difference because I'm going to trust God no matter what anybody does. Amen. I hope you're going to trust God even if the pastor fails me. Even if the pastor doesn't do right, I'm going to trust God. Amen. I'm going to do right. But even if I didn't, I hope you're going to say, I'm trusting in God, who is the Savior of all men. He is my Lord. He is my Master. I can trust Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, men, the Bible said it's a snare to trust in men. We put our trust in man, but we put our trust in the living God. Hallelujah. Who cannot fail. It is impossible for him to fail. He has already made a success. He's already paid the price. Amen. Praise God. So you and I can walk in abundance and not just, you know, we want to get to that place where we'll teach on it here shortly, I hope. But, you know, where that just continues to flow, where there's a consistency, not just the miracle, you know, well, it's great. Oh, I got $20 and that's wonderful. I'm not, you know, saying that's not great, but we need the consistency of God. And that comes from what? The Word of God. And birthing that in our heart. And from that place when we are saturated with what He has said. It doesn't have to take a lot. You know, 3 or 4 scriptures and you'll be fine. Get them in your heart and then speaking from that place. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 9:8. The next one, right? For, you know. And God is able. And here's the other part. To make what? All grace abound toward you. That you sometimes. Always. Always, doesn't it? It doesn't say sometimes. It says always. Having all sufficiency. That means enough for you and money left over to give. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be a millionaire, but we should have more than enough. Amen? So we can have and have money to give, be a blessing in all things, may abound to every good work. Woo, glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. It says, as it is written, He hath dispersed abroad and has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's good news in the Word. Amen. But just a couple of scriptures. Of course, we all know Philippians 4:19. If you just took those three, get them coming out of your heart, out of our mouth, get them in our mind, start saying them. Philippians 4:19. You know, say it regularly. But my God, is He your God? But God shall supply. Hallelujah. All of our need. Glory to God. So anyway, let's get the Word of God going. Amen. And let our faith arise. Praise God. We're growing in Jesus, transforming. How many here are transforming? Amen. Well, you say, well, how do I know if I'm transforming? Are you spending some time praying in other tongues? Have you decided, I'm going to begin to pray in other tongues? And if you haven't decided, or maybe you did decide and you've lost your way, then maybe you can recommit. Amen? How many know sometimes we have to recommit? Anybody here ever lost their way, or maybe you slowed down? Amen. Come on now, I'm being honest. I've had times when, you know, my flesh beat my spirit. We're going to talk about that today. But I want to talk about a verse. The Lord gave me this verse, and I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll get started here in just a second. And I'm going to read this verse, and we're going to pray. Romans 8:18 says this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for Your truth. Holy Spirit, we welcome You to speak to us today, Lord. And as I speak to Your people, Father, for a few minutes, may we understand and grasp a greater light, a greater understanding of who we are and who You are in us, Lord, that we can walk with You in great glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now here we have a verse that most of us don't stand around and confess. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there is here, as we said earlier, a reward for suffering. And the kind of suffering that Paul is talking here in Romans 8 is not talking about sickness. It's not talking about disease. It's not talking about poverty. But if we look up a little bit further in this chapter, we begin to see the kind of suffering that Paul is talking about. Let's back up here to, let's just start at the 10th verse. It's kind of in there, but Romans 8:10. It said, "And if Christ be in you," how many have Christ in you? You've been born again? Amen. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Yet the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now here, if you look closely, the word Spirit is pneuma. And in this particular case, it is capitalized here in the King James Bible. However, when you look into the Greek Bibles, it's only discerned. Spirit, pneuma, can mean your human spirit, it can mean the Holy Spirit, and it must be discerned by the context in which it is written. And here we see, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life," your spirit, the human spirit is life, little s, "because of righteousness." Because of the righteousness of Christ that moved in, your spirit came to life. It came to know. And of course, we know in Ephesians 4 that we are born again in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. So when we see this, what kind of suffering could he be talking about? The kind that comes when we decide that we're going to walk after that nature that's on the inside of us. It says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Now, one day we'll all be quickened and we'll have a new body. How many know that? Amen. Right now, we've been made alive in our spiritual man. We've been quickened to life here, but our body hasn't. How many know our body hasn't changed yet? We've been talking about that quite a bit here, that God left us here on this earth in a human body. Although we were of the human race of Adam, we were changed on the inside, and we became part of the race of God, a new species of being that didn't exist before, the God kind of race, the God kind of people, the people that have been born of God. In other words, God has now become our Father, and we are no longer in sin. We're no longer bound to sin. We are now set free that we may walk in righteousness. Now, can we sin? Yes, we can. We can choose to sin. However, our nature, the desire on the inside of us, is not to sin. Before, we didn't have a choice. Before we're born again, we were lost and bound to sin. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen, we were made free. Hallelujah. Our mind, used to be that we were bound to sin. Maybe you wanted to do what was right but in your mind, but you couldn't because your nature was that of death. It was that of Adam. Hallelujah. "Therefore, brethren," verse 12, "because we were made alive in Christ, were raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, therefore, brethren, we are debtors." In other words, we don't have an obligation, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through that nature that's on the inside of you, that newborn spirit, you do mortify or put to death the deeds of this body, you shall live. Hallelujah. So here, what's he talking about? You say, well, what do you mean? You know, brethren, we're not to live after the dictates of the outer man, the outward man. How many know you have an outward man, this fleshly body, and you've got an inward man, a spiritual being on the inside of you? Right here, if I stepped out of this body, you would see Pastor Doug stand here, and I assume I would look somewhat like I do now. I would be, you know, cell for cell. Here's my spirit man. My flesh man's over here. He's over here. And my spirit man's over here if I stepped out of my body. Now, my flesh man, of course, would collapse. He'd be laying on the floor. But my spirit man's over here. So what does he look like? He looks mostly like me. Cell for cell, it's just like your spirit's just fitting in you like the hand does in a glove. I just step right back into my body here and bring it back to life. Praise God. But we have to have this body to be here on the earth, right? Now we're going to get a glorified body. We all have one to our account. And that's coming. But right now in this life, it says we must mortify or put to death the deeds of this body. We put to death the deeds of this body. Now, how many know a death, someone that's died? Anybody here ever been to a funeral? You know, you ever pat their hand? You know, or maybe you touched the body, it was kind of cold. You know, maybe that sounds, but you know, morbid to some people. But you know, I've seen people where they're almost climbing in the casket. You know, they're all upset, you know, and they're just emotional. You know, but that body, how many knows that body's not going to do anything? You could call that body names, it will not answer you. You could beat that body with a stick, and it will not. It won't affect a thing. It'll just lay there, right? It's not going to react. It's not going to try to fight you. Why? Because it's been placed in a place called death. In other words, their human spirit left their body. That's all death really is. Is when the human spirit, whether it's dead or alive, leaves the earthly body. The earthly body died. It wore out. And you laid down that simple temple that we are, this body of God. For us, it's of God because we gave it to Him. We gave our life to Him. He paid for it. And we accepted the payment in full. That's called redemption. That means He bought it back. We didn't have anything to do with it. He did it for us. Yet we receive it. It cost Him everything. It cost Him everything. His whole life. But for us, it was free. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? It was free. But we have a job here to do. We've got to do something with this body. He said, therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify or put to death the deeds of this body, you, the real you. Amen. How many know the real you is really your spirit being, not your fleshly. Not this outward man, but the real you on the inside. The inward man, the real you will begin to live. Hallelujah. So if we cause, in other words, we have to still live, but yet die to the effects of this outward man. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba Father, or Daddy God. Amen. How many know? How many have cried, Abba Father? You are the Father of my spirit. I am a new man. You are a new person. And the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit here He's talking about, verse 16, which is really the first time He's mentioned in this chapter, and we'll have to get back and probably teach some more on that. But the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, not with our flesh, but our spirit, that we're the children of God. In other words, how many know? It's the man on the inside, that inward man, that he is bearing witness to, that you're a child. How many know you're a child of God? Well, how do you know? Well, one way is that we love the brethren, right? That's what he said in 1 John. We learned that Wednesday night. If we love the brethren, he said, we know that we pass from death unto life. Well, where are we loving that brethren from? Not the old man, not the outward man, but from the inward man, that spirit part of us that was raised to newness of life in Christ. We are, and we became that child of God. And if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And here we go. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now here we're talking a little bit about suffering today. And what does it mean to suffer? What kind of suffering is he talking about then? And we can see here, I don't see any mention. Anybody in here see anything here about sickness or disease in your body? Do you see anything about poverty in there? Do you see anything about woe is me? No, it's a suffering that he does say though that we must what? Die toward the outward fleshly man. And let the man that's on the inside, our inward man, bring forth life. Hallelujah. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now keep your finger there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Keep your finger, put a marker somewhere in there. We'll be right back. But I want to read here in 2 Corinthians 4, we see something very similar. Now, he's not really talking to the Romans here, but he's talking to the Corinthians. It sounds a little bit, but very much similar. Beginning at verse 16, he said, "For which cause we faint not, or we..." What was it? Hallelujah. "We do not lose heart," in other words. We don't faint, okay? "For this cause we faint not," or "we don't lose heart. But though the outward man," our outward man is perishing, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Hallelujah. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man, that spiritual man on the inside, he's renewed. How often? Every day. Day by day. He's being renewed. That's the real you. Everybody say, that's the real me. That's my inward man, the hidden man of the heart. Hallelujah. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Doesn't that kind of sound like here what we read over here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 here? Where he said, "I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with" what? "The glory which shall be revealed in us." See, there's a glory that's already on the inside of you. And it is the very same glory that Jesus was clothed with. That every person that's been born again, there's a presence of God. The glory of God lives on the inside of you. But how many know it is up to us to let it come forth, to let God work in us to such a degree that we are not going to walk after our flesh? Now, Pastor Doug, how might I find out whether I'm really suffering or not. What do you mean suffering? Let's see if we can come up with an example today. Let's just say today, you know, we, or some point in our life, we decide, now in the morning, I'm going to get up and pray. I'm going to start this prayer life of mine. I'm going to spend an hour a day praying in other tongues. So I'm going to set my alarm. I'm going to get up a little bit early and spend some time with God before I have to make the rest of my day, before I have to get ready to go to work and take care of business and take care of the things of the day. So here I go. I set my alarm, and the first day, of course, I wake up. Why? Because I am all excited. I heard that if I will pray in other tongues, it will change my life. The Bible says that I'm going to build myself up on my most holy faith. And so I am all excited. I am ready to go. Matter of fact, I woke up a few minutes before my alarm went off. Praise God. Here we go. And what am I thinking in my mind? Oh, look out. Here comes Brother Doug. He's going to walk in the power of God. I mean, when he walks by, people are just going to fall out. Look out. He's going to get built up. Not only that, the blessings of God are going to start overtaking me. I'm going to have me a new house, a new car. You know, praise God, probably a VCR and a boat. Well, not a VCR anymore. That was in for a while. VCR is out. Sorry, that's an old one. But, you know, I may have me a the best vintage VCR now. You know, that could be. But anyway, I'm going to get the blessing of God. Things are coming my way. I'm going to be a multi-millionaire or whatever I'm thinking in my mind. So I enter into my prayer closet, and I begin to pray in other tongues. The only problem is, as I begin to pray in the Spirit, and my outward man didn't get to listen in. He wasn't too pleased. I got in there and the door just shut. He stayed out. And I continued to pray in fellowship with my Father. Now, the first day he put up with it. We're getting somewhere. I'm getting stronger. You feel anything? Not yet, but I'm starting. And so I'm faithful for a little while, and I start doing that. But pretty soon, the outward man is not happy with being left out. He wants part of his way. How many know the outward man? He'd like to sit down, watch a movie, and pop popcorn, watch TV. Oh, well, in this case, maybe just sleep in a little. You know, you've been working a lot lately, outward man, you know. It just begins to talk to you, doesn't it? Does your outward man have a voice? You know, I've been working a lot lately. I deserve to sleep in. And you just hit the alarm and roll over. You know, I've been doing this for 2 weeks already. You know, it's about time my outward man hits that alarm, snooze alarm, and he rolls over and he says, not today. Not today. Anybody ever have that happen? He begins to speak up, doesn't he? See, that's the part of us that we put to death. But how many know? What is now you're beginning to sense a taste of suffering. Your fleshly man wants his way, yet the inward man is crying out to God to be renewed day by day. You still want to pray on the inside, man, but that outward man says, oh, no, not today. So what does the inward man have to decide? No, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to control me. I'm going to control you. Matter of fact, I think what we're going to do, we're going to really go after God, and we're going to fast for a little while like we will in September. And I'm going to miss a meal or two. I'm going to start getting ready for September. I'm just going to miss a couple of meals, one here and there. Well, how many know mealtime comes, and what does the body say? Feed me. Feed me. Oh, no. We're not going to feed you. We're going to let our spirit man have its way. We're going to control you. And we're going to say no. And our body begins to what? Resist our outward man or our emotions even. You know, well, you know, you might die. You know, you get all kinds of thoughts. You know, it's not healthy. Which actually it's very healthy. But it doesn't hurt you at all to miss a few meals here and there. Some of us could stand to miss more than others, but praise the Lord. We're working on it. Thank you, Jesus. And how many know? But here he says it's not worthy. The suffering that we face is not worthy to be compared with the glory of God, which is shall be revealed in us. In other words, there is a glory that's going to begin to come forth from the inside of you that all men will see. The glory of God, the presence of God, the peace of God, the goodness of God begins to flow from the inside of you, and you build yourself up on that most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Maybe you spend a little time in worship, and the presence of God comes, the glory of God, see, fills you, and you become that container to where it becomes a manifest presence of God that lives with you and walks with you. It says, for the earnest, okay, the glory of God, which shall be revealed. There is some suffering that takes place in the flesh. But that suffering is not sickness and disease, but it's dying to what we want, to what the natural man would do or would want. Because the natural man likes to say that, you know, yeah, it wants to tell us what to do, don't we? And it's not a single time, it's not a one-time suffering that we face. But this is a suffering that we face every single day. How many know what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:31? Did you know he said, I die daily. Daily. Everybody say daily? That's not every week. That's not once a month, but every day. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 31, I believe. I hope that's right. Yeah, 31. He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I die daily. I die daily. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, we all know that one, right? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not my outward man, yet not I, but Christ, which lives in me, the very Christ of God, the very nature of Jesus that moved on the inside of me, begins to come forward. Everything that you are in Him, when we spend that fellowship with Him, that intimacy that we've been talking about and moving forward in. But there is that suffering. Verse 19 said, for the earnest, let's see, which shall be revealed in us, that glory, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And one day we will gain that new body. Amen. For we know that even the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. So not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to know the redemption of our body. Okay? To wit, we're waiting for the redemption of an outward body. One day that outward body is going to be changed. How many knows that? But until that time, there is a certain amount of suffering that we face. And it's not just our fleshly part of us, but there's fleshly emotions. How many know you do? Amen. It's true. How many know all of your emotions are not of God in the flesh? See, we kind of have a natural man, but we have a spiritual man. And everything we have in that natural man, we have in that spiritual man on the inside. All the positive things and those things. And sometimes our emotions begin to wage war against us. You don't need all that. What are you doing all that praying for? Our body might say. Our emotions say sometimes. Amen? Or maybe somebody says that to you. What are you doing all that praying for? Are you do you really feel built up? Are you really changing? Yes, you are. Because the greater one that's in you, it's as supernatural as raising the dead when we spend time with God in prayer, praying in other tongues. It is a supernatural means. It does not originate with you, does it? So it's not really a work, but we are to have things. It's not works in the sense that it's of the flesh. But we have godly given things that we can do on purpose to allow the mortification process of our flesh to take place. But we're going to have to make the decision, and we're going to have to sometime suffer a little bit in this flesh. You said, well, is this anywhere else in the Bible, Pastor Doug? Is that the only passage? Unfortunately, no, it's not. Let's turn over to 1 Peter real quick, chapter 5. Now, 1 Peter 5, I'll start at the fifth verse here. It says, he's talking to some of the elders of the churches and so forth, and to be good shepherds and let God help you. But verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject, what, one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You want to receive more grace from God? Let's humble ourselves. Father, I need you. Lord, I can't do all this in my own strength and power. I need you, Lord. I worship you. Thank you for your grace, Father. Hallelujah. I must have you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, when we get into some places in life, you know, we get the attitude, I'll take care of that myself. Now, Lord, if you can just do this for me, I'll take care of the rest. But we can't do it. How many know we don't do it on our own strength, our own power? We trust him all the way to the end. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we give glory to him. Now, we have to do some things. We've got to use some of our own physical energy because we're here on the earth. He's not. He needs our authority. But we're to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. How many know some people in the world, even worldly people, suffer some of the same afflictions just being in this life, in this world? How many know sometimes their car breaks down too? Amen. Sometimes they have greater sufferings because they walk in the flesh. They do things of the flesh, and that are not what we need to do. When we yield to the flesh, it causes trouble. But the God of all grace, verse 10, who has called us unto this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have what? Suffered a while in this flesh. He'll what? Make you perfect. establish, strengthen, and settle you. How many want to be established, strengthened, and settled? To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're going to let Him have the dominion and the glory in our life when we allow ourselves to say no to the flesh and yes to walking in the Spirit, to spending time praying in other tongues, worshiping God. I mean, you want to invoke a war? Just start seeking, just start reading your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, why? Because the outward man, the Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of God. It's not for him. But our spiritual man has to allow it to come to life in us. And then, see, he communicates with us from the inside out, really. We gain that understanding on the inside first. And then it comes up many times to our mind, you know, our natural mind, and we can then bring it forth. But it will come forth in glory and in power. I'm telling you, there's a place in God where He is our everything, where He can be our all in all. There's no one that is left out. Any person, any Christian can go and have all of God that you want on purpose. Absolutely. You can have anything that any other man of God has had in all the world. I don't care who you are. Oh, I don't know, brother. I mean, they were really, you know, they really walked with God. Well, you can really walk with God. Amen. That's good news. That's the hope of God. And so that is my plea. And you know, many times Christians, we want to just have our own life. See, we want to be saved, which you can be. Then we just want to do our own thing. Let me just walk with God how I want to. I want to come to church and be a nice person. Don't cheat on my taxes too much. And, you know, be nice to my family. And all those are great things. And you'll go to heaven. That's great. But do we really want to go with no reward? We started out today realizing that no matter where we are in God, we want rewards. And isn't our job here? We have a job, don't we? To see all the world come to Jesus. And when we let our fleshly man die and let our spiritual man be raised and to walk in that newness of life by prayer, the Word of God, worship, primarily those things, and add a little fasting here and there if you really want to provoke a war. Hallelujah. Or see where you are. You know, see how much control the enemy really has of you. You know, I was going to fast two meals and, you know, maybe you made it one. Well, then you realize, hey, I've got some control, but maybe I'm not where I need to be or I want to be. So we can continue to pray. We can continue to seek God. And the changes take place from the inside out. We're changed from what? Glory to glory, from faith to faith. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit man that's on the inside of us, if we'll spend that time letting Him pray out the mind of God in other tongues, and pray out the mind of God in, you know, and spend time worshiping God. Hallelujah. How many know you can pray in other tongues and it will bring you revelation and understanding of the Word of God and greater grace and greater strength in your spirit, man? However, if your emotions are bothering you, you may need to spend some time in worship. Amen. Now, if you've only got an hour, then you may want to divide that up a bit. Pray in tongues for a while, maybe 20 minutes, you know. Spend some time in worship and, you know, thanking God for the things that you need. You know, whatever it is you desire. Maybe you take some of the scriptures we talked about, prosperity today, or some other scriptures that you may worship Him with. Thank you, Lord, that You're my peace. Thank You, Jesus, You're my gentleness. Oh, Father, you know, I didn't mean to go off on that person yesterday. I thank You that You're my gentleness, Lord. I want to die to that person. I want to die to those things that rise up in my flesh, Lord. Thank you for your peace. You are my peace. And see, we actually become those things. We actually die to those things. We actually can have the very life of God, the love of God, the very same peace that God has can rest on the inside of us and mount guard in our heart and mind. Those things that money cannot buy. There are things that no man can give you, but a relationship with the Father. If we'll decide, hey, I'm not going to let my flesh rule me. I'm not going to stay in bed today. I'm going to get up and pray. Or maybe you need to stay up, you know, or whatever time you pray. It doesn't matter. Could be in the afternoon. Could be at night. I mean, it's no special anointing on a certain part of the day. There really isn't. You know, if you're a night person, and, you know, I know a guy, he prays all the time. He said, I get up earlier than any of y'all. I pray till 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, he doesn't like to get up till, you know, 9:30 or 10. That's the way he runs, you know, that's where his body seems to click. You know, so there's no condemnation. You know, a lot of, I got some people, you know, sometimes we try to say, well, I'm getting up early. That's good if that's where you are. And that's what you, you know, just listen to you. You make the deal with God. The key is to set that time and to be faithful to seeking Him on a regular basis, every day. Die daily and let's live to Him. Amen. That's the suffering of God. All right. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can die to our flesh. And Lord, there's a little suffering involved, but it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that we're going to receive and that we will see in our lives here and in that glorified body one day, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you live in us. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your strength. Father, we thank you for grace. We ask you for grace and we thank you for grace to help us to continue to enter in, Lord, to that intimacy with you, to knowing you, to walking with you, to hearing your voice and following you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on him just for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't know what I mean, just be quiet and listen. Amen. Let's just listen here. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're our helper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you for your presence, Father. We love you. We worship you. We magnify your name. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just receive grace to continue to walk in Him. Just lift your hands. Say, Lord, I humble my heart. I need your grace, your empowerment, your strength where I'm weak, Lord. Your strength where I am weak, Lord. I exchange my weaknesses. And I ask you to strengthen me, Lord, and draw me by your Spirit. Help me, Lord, to make another commitment, Lord, to stick to what you have given me, to continue to walk with you and to die to this flesh, Lord, that I can be all that you desire me to be. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name, thank you for that presence, Lord. And for all of our friends that are watching, Father, we thank you for grace upon their life, Father. A grace, Father, to continue to enter in, to move forward in the things of God. In Jesus' name, Father, that we'll be transformed into the very image of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.